Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Thank you for that, Norm Older. Where do we hear a version of that in the next couple of weeks, except for somebody who heard my homily already before? Where are we going to hear a version of that in the next 2 weeks? Ash Wednesday. It's repent and believe in the good news that comes from this gospel. Or remember that you are dust and to dust you shall return. I do both so that people can hear both of them. They're both moving. In today's gospel, you may recall Jesus was with John the Baptist the last 2 weeks. He got baptized, and the next week he's back again. Well, it wasn't long after Jesus' baptism that John was arrested. That's the fate of most prophets in the Bible. They end up upsetting people in power whose answer is always murder. It's still true in our society today. Murder is the solution for so many things that people, with words and with deeds. And Jesus doesn't want to be killed. His time has not come. So he goes up to the north of the country, into the land that once had been settled by pagans during political upheaval. And he begins to preach to the land of Naphtali, land of Zebulun, from Galilee. As he's up there, he's walking along, and it seems almost as if it were by chance. He sees these two brothers casting their nets into the sea. They're in the midst of their life's work. But we know from other passages that Peter and his brother Andrew knew Jesus from John the Baptist preaching. Jesus had been, he'd been thinking about Jesus. No doubt Peter and Andrew came back for the same reason Jesus did, that John had been arrested. Not a good idea to be a follower of John the Baptist when Herod has him in prison. Jesus says, follow me, and they drop their livelihood, and their life changes forever. Do you ever have a moment when, looking back on it, your life changed forever? Boy, we don't see them coming sometimes. We think we know, but we don't. You never know when Christ is going to change your life forever. James and John, the same thing. In a way, it was almost by happenstance. Jesus saw them in advance, but it could have been any of us. They were the right people at the right time. Sometimes we only have one opportunity to truly convert, to truly say yes to God. I know that was true in my own vocation. And it's true for a lot of other things besides vocations. I've been thinking about this. We had an interesting day here on Friday. I was trying to pray about my homily, and we're getting ready for the big, you know, anniversary next week. And there's this group of people that are putting together a brochure, a memorial brochure of the history of St. Ed's. It's a very beautiful thing with lots of nice color pictures. And the one we did 20 years ago had black and white pictures, so it's going to be real nice. And I'm flipping through the pages of this booklet, and I'm looking at the pastor page. You know, got all the mug shots from all the pastors. Some of them are quite handsome. there's also a picture of me at Blanchette. It took them 26 takes to get one picture, so it looked like Dagwood Bumstead in a lot of these pictures, you know. Some of us are faces only a mother could love, you know what I mean? But as I'm looking at the booklet on Friday, I heard this interesting conversation come in over an extremely loud intercom that it was in the other room, but I heard it in my office. And they said something to the effect that one priest's picture had some other priest's name under it, and it had not been caught. Who was the founding pastor? I keep forgetting. Father Reedy. I didn't know any of these people. I wasn't in Oregon. I've been in Oregon for 20 years, but our first three pastors I've never met. Father Blackburn and Father Walsh. Only problem was is that Father Blackburn had Father Walsh's name, and Father Walsh had Father Blackburn's name on it. And what was funny about that was that, of course, anybody who knew them noticed it immediately in the booklet. But they were hanging on the wall like that all year with the wrong names. Now, I know half the people here have never met these people, and some of you, weren't born 40 years ago, but those who knew them wouldn't have looked at the little tag under the picture, but I think it's really funny. There's a saying that I've never forgotten. I was on a retreat once, and all I can remember from this retreat is one line, but it's a good one, and I've used it before, and it goes like this. Men will forget you sooner than you realize. I was praying about a vocation. How true that is, isn't it? It's during this Hispanic Anniversary of Death Mass we do every month for all their loved ones that died during that month, Anniversary Mass. And I said, we usually keep a case with their pictures in it. You can see it in the back of the church during the week before we do it. I said, when your face is in this case, don't expect your relatives to pray for you. You'll be lucky if you get one Mass. Now is the time for conversion. Don't expect the people of the future to support you after you're gone. Life is a very serious business. God's goal is our conversion. He wants us to be full in the next world and full in this world. And sometimes when God calls, we have to say yes. Gets us back to those apostles. Actually, they weren't apostles then. They were disciples. Christ was calling all kinds of people. And he called women. There were a number of women that were going around. They're not mentioned too often, but you realize that there are more a number of them that stayed with him throughout his ministry. He's still calling people today. This is not a gospel from 2,000 years ago. He's not walking along the Sea of Galilee. He's walking around the shores of Lake Labish. I guess there isn't one, but you know what I mean. And he says, come and follow me. Looking right at you. Not a generic call. Right where we're at. Right in the business of living. As you know, about 2 months ago, I had a case of laryngitis that started with voice strain and then proceeded to whatever came later, and it's only now going away. And it's been an interesting journey through numerous doctor visits, one of whom caused me to be able to speak again last week. I found out what to do to get me going. I'm very grateful for that. But in sitting over at the house, I think I mentioned this before, I kept thinking of Father Phil for some reason. Because although I never met Father Phil, but I feel like I've known him. Because like him, I was taken out of commission, but yet I lived. There's nothing harder for a pastor to not be able to function and watch the parish go on without them. But it's a good lesson. The Lord said to me, you are not as important as you think you are. I said, who, me? I mean, I'm not in the center? Well, I'm not in the center. We moved me out of the center here, and I'm not going back. But he said, I'm praying about this because it's a very purifying experience to lose your voice for a priest is as if to die. I had no way to communicate with you except by writing. And I know you don't all read my column, and that's not a very good way to communicate with the whole parish. And the Lord said, what makes you think that you were going to live as long as Father Reedy or Father Blackburn or Father Walsh? What if this is it? And it's not a death experience, but in a way it is. I bury a lot of people my age. And the Lord said, now is the time for conversion. Use this for your conversion. How many times have you offended me by your speech? That's true for all of us. Now is the time for repentance. Use this suffering to gain insight for life. So I'm sharing it with you. You will have your own moment when, not of your own choosing, the world will be torn away from you by a death, by a loss of a job, by a financial catastrophe. God only knows what's coming in the future. We have to be ready, because when the Lord is passing by, he only preached for 3 years. If these disciples that say, Lord, I have to pay off a few bills first, then I'll come follow you, or there's something on TV tonight, can I talk to you tomorrow? They would have lost everything. We have to be ready. And so our Lord is still calling. He walks down the aisle today and says, you guys are about 10 days from Lent. What might I want from you? I really think we should all be praying in this next week to be truly open to the Spirit, Maybe he's calling us to do something besides give up sweets. You know what I mean? Maybe it's something proactive, something we're going to do, something we're going to start conquering, something we're going to be reading. How am I going to follow the Lord more closely? What sin am I called to struggle with in the coming weeks? Where is God going to take me? You can be sure he's calling you to be his disciple. It is every bit as strong as the one in the gospel today. And he says to us, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand.